Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program. Let's get started. Welcome back once again to the Truth Hurts program. It is December the 1st, 2021, Wednesday, and I am Steve Z, your host, in this excursion into the lies of the left, the hypocrisy and double standard of the Democratic Party, and those so-called progressive woke liberals. Washington Examiner Jeremiah Puff writes, "Doctors say medical school equity guidelines will lead to bad physicians." Before I read this article, I have only seen the headline, but I've said this all along. If you put 100 people in a room in the United States of America, 13 of those people must be black, 16 of those people must be Hispanic, 5 of those people must be Asian, 1 of those people must be Native American, and the remaining 64-65% must be white. And then if you say, out of this room of 100 people, you are all going to be doctors. Congratulations. You will have 13 black doctors, 16 Hispanic doctors, 5 Asian doctors, 1 Native American doctor, and of course the remainder would be white doctors. Doesn't matter if they're qualified, educated. I'm talking about any of them. The white ones, the black ones, the brown ones, the yellow ones. Doesn't matter. This is what equity means. Taking the population, dividing it up by ethnicity, and then applying equal outcome, not equal opportunity, to each within that group. The United States of America is comprised of roughly 330 million citizens, according to the Census Bureau. And of course, they don't count the 31 to 41 illegal, invading, trespassing migrant immigrants. But let's just use that 330 million figure. Out of that figure, they want 13% of the population who happen to be African American, AA hyphenated minorities, to have equal outcomes to Asian or white counterparts. What they'd like to say is that 13% of the millionaires should be black. 13% of the doctors should be black. 13% of the lawyers should be black. But when you try and apply this to things where black people are the predominant race representation, like NBA basketball, for example, or the NFL, it would be considered unfair to say that only 13% of the NFL should be black. Only 13% of the NBA should be black. Only 13% of the black Miss America pageant candidates should be black. Only 13% of the United Negro College Fund recipients should be black. See how stupid, ridiculous, and silly it sounds when you turn it around and point out the hypocrisy, the double standard? A group of doctors, according to this article, is criticizing the American Medical Association's new, quote, health equity guidelines, unquote, which they, a group of doctors, say will lead to poor patient treatment and unqualified doctors. The AMA, that's the American Medical Association, in conjunction with the Association of American Medical Colleges Center for Health Justice, released the following. Advancing Health Equity, a Guide to Language, Narrative, and Concepts. They released this last month. They argue that meritocracy is a malignant narrative and limits the understanding of the root causes of health inequities. Let me break this down into plain English for those of you who have trouble trying to understand woke progressivism in the English language. Advancing Health Equity, a Guide to Language, Narrative, and Concepts basically means if your doctor wants to call the defibrillator, the medical device that starts your heart, if a certain minority wants to call that a defibrilla, well, we're supposed to understand and accept that. We're supposed to understand and accept that common medical terminology will likely be mispronounced by certain ethnic groups, and we're supposed to simply accept that. They argue that meritocracy is a malignant narrative. Meritocracy, if you're not familiar with the term, means being advanced or promoted because of your merits, because of your skills, your education, your ability, your talent. We shouldn't promote doctors, is what they're saying, based on their merit, based on their ability, based on their skill, based on their knowledge, based on their experience, based on their education, based on their grades. We should simply say that out of every 100 medical students, 13% of them, whether they're qualified or not, should automatically be given the title of doctor. That Advancing Health Equity, a Guide to Language, Narrative, and Concepts that came out last month, says that meritocracy is limiting the understanding of the root causes of health inequities. They will apply the race card to every damned possible subject matter. Both the AMA and the AAMC are tied to the Liaison Committee on Medical Education, which accredits medical schools nationwide. This is now leading to concerns that the health equity guidance will be pushed in the faces of those educating medical professionals. The Washington Free Beacon quoted several doctors who expressed concerns that these guidelines would lead to underqualified doctors, missed diagnoses, and unscientific medical school curricula. They're absolutely right. The Washington Free Beacon, that is, and those doctors who expressed those valid concerns. Most of the doctors were quoted anonymously because, well, they don't want to be called bigots or racists for pointing out the truth. But Jeff Singer is an Arizona surgeon. He said that certain medical conditions are more common in certain racial groups because they vary based on genetics. Well, that's true. Common sense intelligence will tell you sickle cell anemia is prevalent in the African American 13% hyphenated minority. It is genetically not possible for a pure Caucasian to get sickle cell anemia. It is genetically not possible in a pure Asian descendant to get sickle cell anemia. That's genetics, that's science, that's biology. This is medical fact. That guidance, according to the Beacon, could lead doctors to avoid screening certain racial groups for diseases on the mistaken belief that genes play no role in racial health disparities. Singer told the news outlet, "We're talking about matters of life and death here. The health equity guidance attempts to paint the racially based health outcomes have nothing to do with genetics and only within the structural inequities and inequalities, as well as, you know what I'm getting ready to say, my friends, so-called systemic racism. This flawed and faulty guidance says, quote, in the absence of a rigorous examination of racism, assertions that unmeasured genetic or biological factors may account for racial differences in health outcomes are troublingly frequent. You've got to be kidding, right? Oh my God, there aren't even words, my friends. This is the Truth Hurts program. Let's tip the scales over to Joe Manchin, who knows the legalization program for immigration must be removed from the reconciliation so-called Build Back Better lie that gropey Joe Biden and most Democrats are trying to ram down the throats of America. The Democrats did pass that Build Back Better reconciliation bill in the House without a single Republican vote. They aren't likely to get a single Republican vote in the Senate either. Whether or not this boondoggle passes in the Senate depends strictly and wholly upon whether all 50 Senate Democrats, including those two independents who always caucus with Democrats, vote for it, and Camel Toe Harris breaks a tie. We all know that there's one hero in the Democrat Party. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is probably not the only one who will likely vote against it in its current form. He is rightfully concerned about a number of things in that bill, but the one I'd want to discuss with you right now is his concern about the bill's illegal immigration parole provision, which will provide temporary legal status and work authorization to well over 7 million trespassing, invading, illegal, criminal aliens who have been living here continuously, violating our immigration laws constantly for more than 10 years. Now, Joe Manchin is not opposed to some sort of legalization program. In fact, he said he's totally committed to trying to help immigrants, but he does not think we should be establishing a legalization program while the country is in the midst of a massive invasion at the southern border of illegal immigrants continuing to cross because gropey Joe Biden has rolled out the red carpet, the welcome mat, to illegal, invading, trespassing, criminal aliens. To be talking about a legalization program without border security is ludicrous. The average person turns on the television and sees what's going on at the border when they can find a story about it, and it scares the living hell out of them. If migrants think they can make an illegal entry and then get all the benefits that American citizens are entitled to, of course they're going to continue to come.
And they're going to call their relatives and their friends and their ex-boss and all of their other peoples, and they're going to tell them, come on, I get to cross illegally, I violate the law, and now I get all of the benefits that the government is giving out to everyone. Plus I get some extras, and they don't have to COVID test me when I come across illegally. But if you try to fly here legally, they're going to stick that thing up your nose, all the way to the back of your eye, and into your brain, and it's going to hurt.
Joe Manchin says previous immigration and amnesty proposals have included significant border security provisions in order to try and gain support from some moderate Democrats and a few Republicans. Manchin said he would be open to that kind of deal. Hell, I think the Republicans would be open to some sort of deal right now if it allowed for building a border wall at the southern border, beefing up immigration and customs enforcement efforts, finding and deporting illegal criminal aliens who violate other laws. I think you might get some bipartisan support for that. But gropey Joe Biden and his really woke, leftist, progressive, no borders Democrats, they want no border protection. They want no border at all. They just simply want to open the door and let everyone flood on into our country as if we could afford it. We cannot. I would like you to remember way, way, way back to 1986, when the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986 was adopted. It was the approach used to get bipartisan support for the last big legalization program. If you're going to come here legally, I don't have an issue. And most Americans don't have an issue. As long as there are some controls on the numbers of illegals or even legal immigrants allowed to enter the country. You have to use macroeconomics to balance what it costs versus what it brings to the table. If you tried to get into Australia today, my friends, because I know this, I tried. You must A, be physically fit. You can't have cancer, you can't have heart disease, you can't have high blood pressure, you can't have high cholesterol, you can't have diabetes. They don't want people immigrating into their country that have medical problems which will burden their medical system. Number two, you must have a skill, a trade, or a profession that is in need in that country. Otherwise, they don't want you going there and putting their people out of jobs. These are the two criteria that we, the United States of America, should be applying. We're pretty much full, my friends, as far as the economy is concerned, as far as housing is concerned, as far as inflation and pricing is concerned. Joe Manchin says he's not going to vote to overrule the Senate parliamentarian if she recommends removing the parole provision from this bill because it doesn't come within the rules of reconciliation to begin with. That reconciliation process was established by Congressional Budget Act in 1974 to permit expedited consideration of U.S. tax, spending, and debt ceiling legislation to prevent minority filibustering from delaying crucial government funding bills. Now, although your senator is a United States senator, Joe Manchin is a West Virginia senator. And according to a Rasmussen poll released on November 22nd, his direct constituents, West Virginia voters, overwhelmingly oppose the legalization provisions in the Build Back Better reconciliation lie of a bill. That Rasmussen survey found that 79% of likely West Virginia voters are concerned about the current level of illegal immigration. 70% think the federal government should adopt stricter policies to reduce the flow of illegal crossings at the Mexican border. And even amongst Democrats, only one-third support the bill without extra enforcement to gain control of the country's border with Mexico or to deter future illegal immigration. 64% of West Virginia's likely voters believe that it is an amnesty provision which will actually encourage more illegal crossings at the border. And 65% said they would vote against a member of Congress who supports this provision without the addition of border security measures to address the current level of illegal border crossings. And you and I, we all know that West Virginia voters aren't the only ones who oppose that reconciliation bill for various reasons. A Rasmussen poll on November 29th found that 51% of U.S. voters will oppose the bill and less than 42% support it. Democrats are pandering for Democrat votes, and they'll get them from dead people, illegal aliens, or multi-voters. I've said it before. The parole provision in the reconciliation bill violates restrictions in our laws. The Democrats could have included an amendment to make the program permissible under the authority granted by the statutory parole provision, but they didn't. Furthermore, the federal immigration system cannot handle the massive number of applications it already has. The backlog as of June 30th for employment authorization was over 1.3 million. The Democrats should provide the resources to handle that caseload before adding 7 million more. But they've rolled out the red carpet, my friends. I'll be very surprised if Joe Manchin is the only Democrat senator who votes against this reconciliation bill if they don't yank the legalization BS out of it. There will be no limits on how many undocumented immigrants will be able to obtain temporary lawful status and work authorization. It would become the largest legalization program for illegal, law-breaking criminal aliens that our nation has ever seen. And Democrats are trying to shove it down our throats without bipartisan support by using the reconciliation process that was enacted for the express, sole, solitary purpose of passing budget measures, not Democrat wish lists. This is the Truth Hurts program. Fox News reporter Michael Lee wrote, Biden requiring stricter COVID testing of legal travelers, even as illegal immigrants have gotten a pass. The Biden administration is set to introduce stricter testing for both vaccinated and unvaccinated legal travelers who are entering the United States amid the rising threat of the African Omicron variant. At the same time, illegal immigrants have gone mostly untested. Gropey Joe Biden's enhanced winter COVID-19 strategy will be announced tomorrow and will require that every traveler entering the U.S., including returning U.S. citizens, must be tested one day before boarding their flight with a rapid PCR-type test or equivalent. These are very costly tests, and you don't always get the results back in one day. The rule will apply to unvaccinated travelers also, who were previously only required to show a negative test no more than 3 days before their flight. But the Biden administration has refused to put similar requirements in place for the millions of illegal immigrants crossing at our southern border. He claimed back in September, you might recall, that individuals do not intend to stay here for a lengthy period of time, those illegal trespassing aliens. That's how out of touch your president is. He thinks the people illegally crossing the border are only here for a short period of time. The Walk It Back girl, Little Red, Jennifer P. Saki, the White House spokesperson said, quote, and before I quote this, by the way, I want you to listen to the way this was written.
As individuals come across the border and they are both assessed for whether they have symptoms, if they have symptoms, they are.
What the hell does that mean? They are what?
She says, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
This redheaded witch is as ignorant and stupid as your president. Illegal immigrants come across so that they can disappear into the landscape and remain here for their lives and then spit out a couple of anchor babies so that no one will ever separate them from their little bambinos and bambinas. As part of the enhanced strategy to fight the African Omicron variant, the White House is considering a policy that would require travelers to take an additional test 3 to 5 days after they enter the U.S. More controversially, the administration is considering requiring all travelers must self-quarantine for a minimum of 7 days, even if they receive a negative COVID test. U.S. citizens will also be subjected to this requirement, with fines and penalties for those who fail to comply.
But Consuela and Pedro can cross illegally at the southern border and make their way into a town and they never have to test, they never have to confine themselves to any kind of confinement, quarantine or nothing. And they can just simply go around and do what they want to do. They can infect as many people as they want, but Biden says, as long as you vote Democrat, it's okay.
Federal authorities say more than 200,000 people arrive in the country by plane every day. That's as of November. That number does not yet include the Thanksgiving Day holiday. And so-called health officials stressed that even if a quarter of those travels complied with the updated regulations, it could help scientists isolate thousands of infected individuals who might spread the virus. But they don't give a damn about Pedro, Consuela, Julio, Hector. They don't care about those illegal, trespassing, invading, disease-ridden aliens at the southern border. There's no indication the Biden administration is rethinking its stance on testing illegal immigrants who cross the border illegally, despite border officials encountering 164,303 individuals at the border in October. Do the math, folks. That's 2 million illegals entering in the first year of gropey Joe Biden's presidency. The number does not include the gotaways, the number of individual illegal trespassing invaders who simply get away and are not caught. Those are the ones who sneak across the border without being arrested. Do you think those people test before they come over? If they've got COVID, they come here because they know our hospitals can't tell them no. The U.S. Border Patrol estimates over 400,000 gotaways have illegally entered the country since gropey Joe Biden took over as the president. And just to show you, 12,000 U.S. Border Patrol employees have tested positive from COVID-19 since the pandemic began, 51 supposedly having died from the virus. And how do you think they are getting the disease?
Well, I guarantee you, it's coming from them illegal aliens that's trespassing across the border, and they've got the COVID, but they're not required to test.
But gropey Joe Biden is requiring the Border Patrol agents to test, to wear masks, and to get vaccinated. But not that of the illegal trespassing invading criminals coming across our border each and every day. We'll be right back. Here's another ridiculous thing happening in a progressive, woke, liberal America. Activision, the video game manufacturer, Activision Blizzard Incorporated, and Monster, the energy drink company, are among companies that have 1 month to add women to their board of directors, or they're going to be fined or even shut down. That is so that they comply with a new California law that promotes gender diversity. Unless a judge, of course, finds the rule itself is a form of discrimination. You see, my friends, a trial is set to start Wednesday in Los Angeles over whether the law can even be enforced. That trial is likely to take about 7 days. The case was brought by the conservative advocacy group, Judicial Watch, which claims the law is unconstitutional because it violates the Equal Protection Clause of the California Constitution. California courts will likely uphold a gender mandate, just like European courts have backed similar efforts. The laws have become commonplace in much of the world, especially in Europe. They face challenges on the argument that they were discriminatory, but the general reaction of European courts is that they're simply promoting equity and equality. I want you to think about this for a second. Your company is doing fine. Your board of directors is making you profitable. And then suddenly, now you have to put so many females on the board, whether they're capable or competent or not, as long as they own a share of stock in the company, right? You have to put a transgender queer on the board of directors as well. Doesn't matter if your company suffers financially, as long as you're in compliance, right? The state of California says 318 of 647 public companies have so far disclosed whether they comply with the new requirements. No fines have been proposed yet, but the Secretary of State retains the discretion to implement fines depends on the facts and circumstances of the time that any such decision is made. So let me break this down for you, my friends. I decide to start a company, let's say a small microbrewery. I'm brewing some beers in my house. I've got all my necessary permits and registrations and licenses and inspections, everything's in order. Suddenly, everyone likes Z Microbrew, my new beer. They love it. Now I need to hire a few people to help me make more of my beer. So I hire 10 employees, and then 100. Then I expand my operation. a little bit. Now I'm, instead of making 10 cases a week, I'm making 10,000 cases a week. And I get a call from a major restaurant chain saying, "Hey Z, we would like to serve your beer in our 700 restaurants. Wow, I need to ramp up quickly. I need to find a way to get a bunch of money to build a larger facility so that I can be able to ramp up my business and serve all of those beer drinking customers. The best way to do that is to incorporate. So I start a corporation on my board of directors. Well, the three guys who I hired to begin with, because they've helped me through various obstacles and they've helped me to grow the business to this point. One, the guy who showed me how to better brew the beer in a quicker fashion. Number two, the guy who helped me to expand the business the first two times. Number three, my sales and marketing guy who has helped me to get that major contract. Me and these three guys, well, we like to play golf together. We like to go to board meetings together. And we have our little impromptu board meeting once a month. Under this California law, I now, because I sell stock in the company to raise funds to be able to build my new massive plant, to be able to produce, manufacture, and distribute more Z-Brew, I guess what? Now have to hire a female and put her on my board of directors. Maybe she knows absolutely nothing about beer, nothing about business, but she's got a vagina, by God, so I have to put her on the board. And then she can start making board-level decisions like, we want you to change the label because the girl in the bikini offends me. Well, the girl in the bikini on the label might be one of the selling points of our beer. But I have to have a female on the board, qualified or not, under that California law. That, my friends, is the destruction of America happening right before our very eyes. Now, I'm not saying there is not a capable, qualified, competent female on planet Earth who could help my business and be on the board of directors. But I don't need that individual right now. The business is running fine. We're profitable. But the California law says, no vagina, no business. That, my friends, is the ruination of a nation. And before I go today, I would like to play for you the minutes of the last board of directors meeting for the Truth Hurts program and Studio 63 Network, which is in compliance with the California law, because we have a little bit of everyone on our board of directors. Take a listen.
Man, y'all know I be hating some meetings.
I don't like to come all the way here to the meeting. I'm afraid someone is going to check to see if I'm a legal citizen or not.
Howdy, Pete.
Howdy, Charlie.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah, Charlie.
Who are all these people? And where's my harmonica music?
Good morning, class. Everyone. I'm a little disappointed that my entire classroom was not invited here to say, good morning, Mr. Jacks.
Oh, yes, I am wondering why all of these people are here. Why are they not downstairs in the convenience store buying cookies and cakes and crackers?
Hey, Daddy?
Yes, son?
Why did you bring me here to this meeting with all these people?
Well, I thought you'd want to be exposed to life, son.
Well, I never. Why they bring us up in here like this?
Hey, Pedro.
Si, Pepe.
Do you think immigration will be here today to cart us away?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Steve Z called the immigration.
Yes, Steve Z. Why is it you brought everyone here to this place for today?
Yeah, it's a long drive all the way up here from El Paso. And who the hell's gonna guard the border while I'm in here?
Hey there, baby. How y'all be doing? I ain't seen y'all since last year.
Now y'all just wait a dang minute. I've been trying to get here for 2 weeks and the doggone traffic has done set me back.
This meeting of the Truth Hurts program staff and on-air talent will now come to order.
Well, please tell us you are not going to terminate our employment.
Hey, baby, I need this job. You can't just be letting me go like this. You have to have some representation of color, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, I can't believe y'all call us all up in here for this, and now they gonna let us go?
And nobody said nothing about firing anybody. What is y'all's problem?
Order, please, order.
As you all know, it is coming close to the end of our year here at the Truth Hurts program, and the management professionals who run Studio 63 have asked for input from all of you to try and determine what programs should remain and what should be cut.
I love the new microphones.
Not that these programs cost anything to anyone.
Hey, are those speakers
the Truth Hurts
new?
Program is free, good. And it is a free expression of our opinions as protected by the United States Constitution and the First Amendment thereof.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah, Charlie.
I'd like to order something right now.
Oh, shut up, Charlie.
If you're making an order, I'd like to get some tacos, please. Maybe some chicken.
And this is precisely why we don't have meetings very often, because you people just cannot get along. You just can't be quiet and let the meeting go on.
Hey, DZ, just who do you mean by you people?
Hey, baby, that sounds a little bit racist to me. You people? You people.
I think everybody just need to be quiet. Let DZ say what he's finna say. Yeah. Because if y'all don't let him say what he's gonna say, you know what I'm saying? We gonna be up in this place here all day. Nah, man.
I called you all here today to tell you what a wonderful job I think you have done all through the year of 2021. Despite all of the adversity, despite all of the division in America, I think we pretty much came together as a family and put the Truth Hurts program together in a professional manner, telling it like it is, and I wanted to thank you.
Well, that's mighty white of you.
Hey, you can't say that. That's racist.
I thought we were a family, but apparently the way you guys are acting, we're just as divided here at Studio 63 as you guys are in the real world. And that's a shame, but it's the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts.
This is my turn yet. Yay! Steve Z and the Truth Hurts program.
Well, I, for one, can't understand why he didn't bring any donuts.
Oh, tisk, tisk, tisk. We have run a little bit over on this edition of the Truth Hurts program, time-wise, but who cares? Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Make it a great day. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are free speech protected under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you were offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.